This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We are now moving on to our story for this hour, which is on the police force, because we've been doing check-ins with frontliners throughout the pandemic. And one group that has been on the forefront since the very beginning are, of course, the police force. And we've reached out to them to find out what it's been like during the MCO, during the various stages of the pandemic, but also to address some of the issues that have been highlighted recently involving law enforcement. Not all of them very positive, we have to say.
Well, so that's the thing. I was going to say that if you look at the headlines that the police force have been making, right, it swings. So either you have really some rather some negative, some worrying headlines, and then you have ones that are broadly positive and really focus on the role of police as part of public service. And so it's a real mix. If we look at the negatives first, because they did happen recently, we know that there were some instances of complaints of harassment, right? A woman tweeted that a police officer took down her number at a roadblock and contacted after to get to know her. Another woman spoke up about also being sexually harassed by a police officer at a roadblock, allegedly forcing her to share her number and so on. We covered that story when it happened. And I think that that led to people sharing their worries and some of the anxieties that they feel generally about interacting with the police. On the other hand, there have also been hugely positive, heartwarming stories.
Yeah, so and what some of those involve our guest today, actually, ACP Nick Izzani Mohammad Faisal, who is the Petaling Jaya Police Chief. And he has, and this was reported in several media outlets, he has a One Good Deed a Day initiative. They update the PJ Police Facebook page on these deeds. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. Just amongst the ones that have been highlighted, a woman was caught shoplifting food for her children, but the police actually chose not to pursue that investigation. And instead, they went to her home to give her food supplies. And they even made an open invitation for her to come to the police station if she needed anything. There was also the story of them showing up at the first day of school for the daughter of a police officer who had passed away. They walked her to school because it was something that her father would have done for the every first day that she went to school. So these sorts of things have been coming up as well. And so we thought it was worth speaking to someone who can tell us about what life has been like over the last 1 year. Let us know what your experiences have been with the police over this past year. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Meanwhile, we're going to move on to our guest. We have on the line with us Petaling Jaya Police Chief Assistant Commissioner Nick Izzani Mohammad Faisal. Thank you for joining us. Now, you may know him as the police officer that has been doing the spate of good deeds, but we wanted to know, Nick, can you describe what it's been like for police officers who have been on the front lines during the pandemic? You know, whether it's at roadblocks, whether it's ensuring SOP compliances in public spaces and so on.
Okay. For us cops on the front lines, it is a call of duty. I mean, call of duty consists of convincing ourselves that we are saving lives out there. Every time we step out of our house, every time we leave our family, it's about saving lives, you know, the roadblocks, the control movement. It's also about enforcing the law, and it's also about garnering support from the public. Okay, the public got to believe that what the government is doing and also what the frontliners are doing is for them, nothing else. You know? And the frontliners, as I've said many, many times, we cannot do it without the support of the public, without the support of the communities. If they do not believe that it's for their benefit, is that it is for their own good, then we're going to have like a slow, really slow recovery. So it is about convincing ourselves and convincing the public, you know, to believe that this is the best way to tackle COVID-19 pandemic.
And so what would you say has been the toughest part about convincing the public?
Well, the toughest part is seeing them hurting. Hurting as in, you know, getting used to the new norm, the communities, they are used to a certain, you know, response, a certain lifestyle. And when this MCO hit them, they are hurting financially, economically, and also I think some may even, you know, have some emotional challenges and all that. So we see them day to day, and it hurts us as well. But in the end, you know, like we have to strike the balance in enforcing the MCO. We have to see on case by case how to manage the community. That's the toughest part, I think. But it is the first time for everybody, not just for the frontliners. It's also the first time for you, for the communities. You know, they have to readjust their lives, and we cannot give up. If we give up, then we are giving up on the people. We are giving up on Malaysia, and that cannot happen. That cannot happen. So, soldiering on until this end.
Let's talk about the roadblocks. What effects have they had during the MCO, both from a negative and positive standpoint?
Which one do you want me to address first? Let's go with the bad news first. Well, on the negative side, of course, there'll be traffic congestion because of the roadblocks and also road closures. People are still uncomfortable. Every time they pass through roadblocks, they have to show their letters, they have to explain and explain and explain, just because not every time that they pass through the roadblocks, it will be the same personnel that will be put at task. And of course, in DJ, with a huge population over here, we have to at least ask everybody where they're going and all that, and check their documents and all that. So there are uncomfortableness going on. But the positive side is, of course, the cases went down. Okay, I remember closing three routes in Kota Damansara. The three routes is essential, connecting Shah Alam, Sungai Buloh, and also Gombak to Damansara. So I shut down all these three routes, just because the cases were high in Damansara. So, of course, you get a big hoo-ha from the local residents. But eventually, cases went down. I cannot discuss the numbers because it is above my pay grade. But rest assured that it works. All these roadblocks, all these road closures, it is not for us. It's for the people.
And, you know, roadblocks are one of the main occasions where we, the public, interact with police officers. And as you mentioned, some members of the public have spoken about being uncomfortable, even being harassed. How would you respond to that? I mean, what kind of training do police officers go through to handle these situations?
Okay. We do train our officers on how to communicate at the roadblocks. They put into 8 hours shift. And after some training, how to communicate, how to check all the red flags of, you know, people trying to, you know, take advantage of their passes or their permits or their company letters. And I myself, my all other heads of departments, we go down to the roadblocks. I listen, I watch how they conduct interviews at the roadblocks. And I even go to the extent to stop them and show them how to actually ask politely. Because one thing I always keep reminding them, that we are not dealing with criminals. They are the public. We serve them. So be courteous. But when the time comes, maybe the interview escalated, you know, people trying to, you know, lie or whatever, we pull them aside and address the situation accordingly. And I do my, not necessarily checking. Yes, I do my checking, but to give them moral support. They need that. If they have their commander with them, next to them, the confidence level or the moral level is quite high. So you could imagine from 8 o'clock to 4 p.m., standing in the morning under the hot sun, and by 1 or 2 o'clock, it could be a challenge. Emotionally, you know, mentally, physically, it could be a challenge for them. So on top of that, what I do is I put additional men at my roadblocks so that they can, rotate every hour. After 1 hour of standing, of questioning and everything, switch, you know. So I use more manpower on that, but in the end, we lower down the risk of burnout among the men. So, of course, like many other organizations, PDRM, Royal Malaysia Police, is also an organization made up of 140,000 men, people, human. To err is human. But to stay in that situation is totally irresponsible. I do not deny that we are not perfect. We are not perfect. But we must, every day that we wake up in the morning, step out of our homes, every day we must move towards a direction that will make our organization better. We cannot stay as we are. As you can see, MCO, there's a lot of changes from time to time. A lot of new instructions from time. So we got to be on top of our game. So that's how we manage our roadblocks, minimizing harassments or, you know, burnout, training and constant being with the men, being on the field. That works.
And how do you manage complaints that do come through from the public about the performance of these police officers?
Okay, of course, we will investigate. We will initiate investigation. And the personnel in question, we will take off the field and we'll put them where, for example, you know, office work and all that. And if it's a complaint, if the action were against the law, they'll face the music according to the law. But if it's disciplinary, for example, like not being there on time or whatever, then we have disciplinary actions that we can take on them internally. But make no mistake, you break the law, you face the music.
So let's look at the flouting of SOPs and the issuing of compounds. How do police officers practice discretion and compassion when it comes to this? What needs to be taken into account?
Well, it's case by case. You know, it's not 1 plus 1. Close to 2, you know. I take, for example, this, the other day I was going on my rounds. At the time, the restaurant allowed to open, but no dining in. So I was on the way to a meeting, and I saw somebody was actually eating next to a restaurant. It's not a restaurant; it's a gerai, it's a store. So stopped the car and. I came out and I told him, Abang, agak-agak lah. Kan sekejap lagi saya compound, kata saya kejam pula. And the person would be like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, wrap up his food and start leaving the place. So this kind of things we do. You know, I mean, where we can, we try to accommodate, we try to advise. But at times, you know, when there's like the glaring break of MCO rules, like, for example, nightclubs operating, we cannot tolerate that. There's a very high risk. So everybody got their taste of compound.
Now, with the new and higher penalties coming into effect next week, will there be another consideration? Will there be other considerations to make?
Well, it's still a compound. It's just higher. But I can tell this to the public, do not be troubled with it. So long that you know what you shouldn't do and what you should do. Just take care of yourself. Comply with the SOPs and all that, your mask. Comply with the time of operations and all that. Do not go out unnecessarily. Just stay with us for a while. Stay with the rule for a while. Stick to the rules. And we can do it together. 10,000, 1,000, just put that aside. Put that aside. Let's focus on getting this pandemic over with, over and done with. We can do it. Just a little bit more time. The vaccine is here. Let's work through this together.
We have on the line with us Petaling Jaya Police Chief Assistant Commissioner Nick Izani Mohammad Faisal. We'll be back to continue the conversation with him in just a bit. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:23 on the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn, and we are on the line with Petaling Jaya Police Chief Assistant Commissioner Nick Izani Mohammad Faisal, and we've been talking about how the police have been managing over the last year because of the pandemic, because of the MCO, and so we wanted to continue the conversation, Nick, by asking you, as the District Chief Police of PJ, we've seen you doing good deeds in ways that we don't often associate with the police force. Why is engaging with these acts important to you?
Since I got to PJ, I try to promote, I want to build trust between the Royal Malaysia Police in Petaling Jaya and the communities by increasing the transparency of what we do. And also, I think what people seems to be attracted to more, humanizing the badge. We are also human. We cry, we laugh, we have feelings, we have families, children. So we're no different than you. It's just that we carry a badge. And by humanizing the badge, people starting to open up to us. They started to trust us. They call us when they are in trouble. They call us when they see crime, drug dealings, or whatever. And information, they just flow in and makes our job more effective, efficient. Of course, we have to, I engage with the media a lot to, promote transparency. And I guess we are in the right direction with the support we have in PJ. And I would like to say PJ, but we do get lots of feedback as well from every other states in the country, even Sabah and Sarawak, contacting us on a few issues and all that. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I think this is the future. I think Petaling Jaya today is a better place to live in, definitely.
And have you seen these acts of kindness create a trickle-down effect?
Yeah. Okay, it depends on how you want to look at it, actually. If you want to look at it in a negative way, this is all media stunt for him and all that, or PJ is a media stunt, it will be negative. Maybe after this, all the patrol car, you should put in a sack of rice, and start becoming the Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat. You get all these things, but to me, if you want to take it as a positive, it is a form of crime prevention, actually, with the support from the communities, with the what we do here, especially if you remember the case of a lady who, unfortunately, she stole some items at the local store here, and we decided not to continue with the investigation. Yes, I took a step back by not investigating this lady, this particular person. But imagine the step forward that we've taken on crime prevention, right? The public now knows that there is Lembaga Zakat Selangor who also distribute all kinds of items. There are also Yatim, there are also Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat. People know that these are the channels that they can go to in case they do not have any food, in case they need help. There are also House of Worship, Masjid, Uwil, temples, churches, they also have stocks of items that people can go to. So isn't that crime prevention? Wouldn't you agree?
And while we're on the topic of crime prevention, what's it been like to balance those duties of being on the front line of the pandemic with the other demands that come with the job?
On top of the frontline tasks that we have to tackle the pandemic, some of my men are confined to the roadblocks, static. They cannot move anywhere. They just have to man the roadblock. But we also have various teams that are out there to ensure the SOP premises, such as the markets, wet markets, or the restaurants. So these teams do not just focus on the SOP. they are also there for crime prevention. We do have other things that we need to look into, snatch theft, house break-ins, you know, all the other things that we need to, you know, manage. And if you can, if you notice, current MCO is totally different from the last MCO. There are still movement compared to the last year's MCO. So when there are movement, of course, criminals also making their moves. And we are there. And there is not a day since this MCO started that we haven't made arrests on crime activities. And this is our core business, crime. So.
And final question, Nick. I mean, is there a message that you'd like to share with the public?
To the public, I thank you very much for believing in us. You have stayed with us for a year now. And I couldn't thank you more. It is the beginning of an end. Vaccines are here. And it will take time. Stay with us a little bit longer. Keep doing what you're doing. Comply with the SOPs. And one day, we'll get to go out there again and enjoy our life, the normal life, together. So stay with us. And I love you 3,000.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this evening, Nick. That was Petaling Jaya Police Chief ACP Nick Izzani Mohamad Faisal giving us some insights into what it's like to be on the front lines as a police officer during the pandemic. Let us know, you know, what are your experiences with the police? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.